Well, it's nice to see your smiling faces. Let me change that. It's nice to see your faces. We're glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. We're going to get into now a really great part of this study of the history of Israel. And I suppose that probably you'd want to open your Bibles to Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis looking at some things tonight. So you'll probably want to open first to Genesis chapter 12 because that's where we're going to go initially. Before we begin our journey this evening, let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to be able to study things that pertain to this great nation, Israel. We are so thankful for the crumbs that you've sent our way that allows us to have a relationship with you, and we know that that is connected to her. And we would just pray that as we study these things, you will just continue to give us wisdom and that we would grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name, amen. Now we begin tonight studying the historical timeline of the nation Israel. The Jewish people are the most important, traceable, verifiable people in all of history. The timeline of the nation Israel is like no other nation in the world. And I think you'll even see that tonight in some of the things we look at this evening. There's more data about Israel that is accurate and precise than any other nation in the world. And we're actually able to track her through history for about 4,000 years, which is pretty remarkable. We're able to document facts pertaining to Israel starting around the year 2100 BC until today. And that's something to think about, 2100 BC until today. We've attempted in this study, or we're going to try to attempt in this study, to track the key moments of her history, starting with her inception, right on until 2019. Our timeline is going to start with Abraham, and it will continue to the present Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, because God has a national program with Israel, and he has brought Israel into a covenant existence, God has brought Israel into a covenant existence with him, then his hand and his sovereignty is always on that nation. Therefore, even modern things that happen to Israel, that have happened to Israel, are extremely important. Now, this chart that we're putting together here, that we're starting tonight, is for the purpose of giving us a general timeline and overview of the history of Israel from its beginning until now. And the dates have been calculated very carefully, as near as we're able to calculate the dates. We've tried to pinpoint, and I suppose this becomes a little subjective because it's kind of left up to me to try to do this, but we've tried to pinpoint the key historical moments in the timeline that relate to national Israel, and we're going to have, when we're done with this part of it, as near as I can tell as of tonight, nearly 90 historical event timeline matters that we're going to discuss. Now, the first event that we need to discuss pertaining to Israel is the beginning. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob begin the story of the patriarchs of the Jewish people. And the dates of when that happens is about 2100 B.C. to 1800 B.C. 2100 B.C. to 1800 B.C. Now, if you'd go to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. We read from verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The timeline for Israel starts with Abraham. And it starts right there. Although I think it actually starts in chapter 11 when we get the actual ancestral lineage of Abraham. We pinpoint this text as a key text in the beginning of the nation Israel. The name Abram means exalted father. God will change the name of Abram to Abraham in Genesis 17, and that name means father of a multitude. Everything in the plan of God shifts right here in Genesis 12 to Abraham and his seed. Abraham and his family. So you have a major shift in the Bible, and frankly, once you make this shift from Genesis chapter 12 to Israel, that carries on through the rest of the Scriptures, all the way through the Old Testament, and as we've already pointed out, in the New Testament. Everything in the plan of God starts right here with Abraham. Now, the Word of God is a Word of God that really is shifting to Abraham, and the way it gets to the nation Israel is Abraham has a son, Isaac, who's born in about 2065 B.C. Isaac has a son, Jacob, who's born in about 2005 B.C. Now, I'd like you to go to Genesis 32, please. Genesis 32. And in Genesis 32, I want you to notice what we read in verse 28. Start at verse 27. Genesis 32, 27. So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you've striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Now flip over to Genesis 35 and look at verse 10. Genesis 35, verse 10. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." Thus he called him Israel. There is the beginning of the nation Israel. Abraham has a son whose name is Isaac. Isaac has a son whose name is Jacob. And it's right here where God changes Jacob's name and he gives him the name of Israel. And since God often identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this is a key to the beginning of the nation Israel. Now, Jacob has 12 sons. The 12 sons are Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, and Benjamin, and that forms the basis for the 12 tribes of Israel. So what you have in this book of Genesis, starting with chapter 12, is you have a major focus on this person who becomes this nation. What you have here is the beginning bloodline of the nation Israel. Now, this is an important bloodline. It's an important family. It's the family that God is going to have a national covenant with this nation Israel. And this is also critical to developing the bloodline of the Jewish God, Savior, Messiah, King, Jesus Christ. Because the God, Savior, Messiah, King, who is the Jewish God, Savior, Messiah, King, who is the God, Savior, Messiah, King, actually the whole world, but specifically in regard to Israel, is going to come through Abraham. It starts there. What we have here is the beginning of the actual bloodline of Jesus Christ who will come to Israel. And we learn from Genesis several things about the God, Savior, Messiah, King. First of all, we learn from Genesis 3:15 that he will be a real man. He will be a real man born of the seed of a woman. We learn from Genesis 4:25 that he would come through the line of Seth. And we learn from Genesis 9:26 that he would come through the line of Shem. We learn from Genesis 12:3 that he would come through the specific family of Abraham. We learn from Genesis 26:3 he would come through the seed of Isaac. We learn from Genesis 46:2-3 and 35, as long as you're open to chapter 35, look at verse 10. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be called your name." And he called him Israel, and God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you." So the king would ultimately come as one of the sons of Jacob. And then we learn from Genesis 49:10, if you'd go over to Genesis 49:10, we read in Genesis 49:10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people." So we learn that this God, Savior, Messiah, King would not only come as one of the sons of Jacob, but would come from the tribe of Judah. We learn all of that in the book of Genesis. All of that in the book of Genesis, and it really starts zeroing in on this marvelous person who's predicted to come once you establish Israel as a nation. So the lineage of Abraham is not only critical to God's nation, but also to God's son. Now, God specifically promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a land. I'd like you to go to Exodus 33, if you would, please. Exodus 33. Verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you the people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it." God has promised Israel a specific land. He has promised Israel a specific land. The land boundaries are also spelled out in the book of Genesis. If you look at those land boundaries from Genesis, what God has promised her is land that starts at the Nile River, runs across the northern part of Africa, across Saudi Arabia, all the way over to the Euphrates, from the Euphrates north up into Persia or Iran, swinging west into Turkey to the Mediterranean coast and back down the Mediterranean coast. That's the land that God promises to Israel. She has a fraction of it tonight, just a fraction of it. The closest that she ever came to actually having that kind of land would have been under Solomon's reign, but even then it was half of what's been promised her. So, we take the Bible literally. We believe Israel is promised this land, and we believe literally one day she's going to have that land. Every inch of it that's been promised to her by God. Now, Abraham dies at age 175. So I'd like you to go back to Genesis 25, if you would. And some of these facts you're going to have to add to your notes because I didn't type them in for you. So it's either you add them or you don't have them. It's that simple. In Genesis 25, verses 7 to 8, Genesis 25, 7 to 8, these are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man, and was satisfied with life, and he was gathered to his people. So the year about which Abraham dies is somewhere around 1925 B.C. So there's what we would call the first critical event of Israel's history. The first critical event of Israel's history is you have this Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from 2100 B.C. to 1800 B.C., and they're functioning in that time frame. And God is establishing them and establishing His nation Israel. Now, a second critical event to the nation Israel was Jacob's family, which forms those 12 tribes of Israel, moves to Egypt because of Joseph. They leave the land of Canaan and they move to Egypt because of Joseph. And the date of that is about 1876 B.C. That's the date the family moves to Egypt. Now Joseph, and you remember the story of Joseph. Joseph was sold as a slave. I'm going to date this, if you want to just put down a general date of when he was sold as a slave, about 1898 B.C. He was actually sold as a slave to Egypt. He was the son that God gave to Jacob and Rachel. And you remember the story that Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, so they sold him as a slave. But Joseph is the reason why Abraham's family ends up in Egypt. Joseph is the great-grandson of Abraham. Now what happens is, as you remember the story, there was a famine in the land of Canaan, and that's where Abraham's family was living, which was where they were supposed to live. And Joseph, who had been sold by his brothers, was in charge of all the supplies in Egypt. The way he got in charge of all the supplies of Egypt is a remarkable story of the sovereignty of God. First of all, you remember, he went to work for Potiphar. And then Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him, so he ends up in jail. And then when he's in jail, Pharaoh has a dream. And nobody can interpret the dream. And then finally they're married. There's a guy down there in jail who seems to be able to interpret the dream. So they get Joseph up and bring him before Pharaoh. He says, well, I can't do it, but God can do it. And he interprets the dream. And as a result of him interpreting the dream, Pharaoh makes him the number two guy in the Egyptian world. He puts him in charge of everything. So Joseph, who's been sold by his brothers, ends up in charge of all the supplies. He's been exalted by God in Egypt, and he's the one who's moving Jacob's entire family to Egypt. But here is the interesting dynamic about this, which shows you God's amazing care of this nation Israel. God was directing this entire nation at this point into that. And I'll show you how we know that. Go back to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, which I think is an amazing story in our history. In Genesis 15, you'll notice what we read in verse 13. Genesis 15:13. God said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Now watch this. Where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. Now I want you to think about what God is saying here. He's telling Abraham, your family, Israel, is going to leave this land. Your family is going to go and become servants of another nation for 400 years, over 400 years. And then I am going to bring them out of there, and when they come out of there, they're going to come out with a lot of possessions. Now that's an amazing prediction. Now I want you to just go over quickly to Exodus chapter 3 for just a moment. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and I want to draw your attention to verse 21. Exodus 3:21, I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be, when you go, you will not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver, articles of gold, clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters, thus you will plunder the Egyptians. What God is basically saying here years later, in fact it's over 400 years later, is you're not going to leave here empty-handed. I told Abraham this. Abraham is the father of this nation, and now I'm reminding you, you're not going to leave this place empty-handed. Now, the year that Jacob and his family and his 12 sons moved to Egypt was about the year 1876. And this would be 430 years before the Exodus. I say, now that is a major event, number two. Major event in Israel's history. She's in the land, the family's formed from Abraham. Now she's down in Egypt because Joseph is in Egypt, so you have the entire nation in Egypt. That's a critical event. But a third critical event is that Moses delivers Israel from Egypt, and he begins to lead her to the promised land in 1446 B.C. Now Moses is born somewhere around the year 1524 B.C. He becomes the first national prophet of God to Israel. He becomes the first national deliverer chosen by God to deliver Israel. Israel had moved to Egypt. She stays in Egypt for over 400 years until God decides, it's time for me to send my man to get this nation and bring her back to another land that I'm going to give her. It's time for me to move nationally for Israel and send a man to get her and take her to the promised land. And it was in the aftermath of that that Moses wrote the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, sometimes called the Pentateuch. And he promised blessings and cursings on Israel for obedience and disobedience to God. And it was during this time that the tabernacle was built, worship was established, and the priesthood was established for the nation Israel. God himself says, I'm the one who brought Israel out of Egypt. I want you to see that in Exodus 20. If you would look at that, verse 2, Exodus 20, verse 2. God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So, here's what God told Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. The nation is going to be dominated by another nation for 400 years. Then I'm going to go and get the nation, and I'm going to take this nation where I want to take them. And when I take them to this spot, I'm going to just give them unbelievable blessings. I mean, the Egyptians are just going to start giving them stuff. They're going to leave the land of Egypt with things that I'm going to give them. Now, the deliverance by Moses is a very specific date that is discussed in the Bible in multiple passages. As we already said, God revealed to Abraham that he was going to deliver his descendants approximately 400 years after they had been enslaved. We saw that in Genesis 15:13. And I want you to see what Moses said. If you go back to Exodus 12, And we read in Exodus 12 and verse 40, Now at the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt, The time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. So Moses specifically, who's writing Exodus, says the total amount of time that Israel spent in Egypt was 430 years. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to notice verse 17. What I'm saying, this is the Apostle Paul, what I'm saying is that the law, which came 430 years later, Moses given the law after Israel had been brought out of Egypt, 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. So Paul also says that Israel was in captivity to the Egyptians for 430 years. So, if Israel enters Egypt in 1876 B.C., Moses delivers her in 1446 B.C., that is exactly 430 years. Now you tell me any other nation that has a prophetic time clock like that. Any other nation in the world. There is no other nation. You cannot find another nation in the world that has a prophetic time clock where you can go back and say, well, now it's predicted here that they're going to do this for X number of years, then they're going to go here for X number of years after that, and they're going to be moving here. This shows you how unique the nation Israel is. There's no other nation like this on this earth that God is actually monitoring and directing and actually controlling. Certainly His sovereignty monitors all peoples. There's no question about that. And we are privileged to have a relationship with God, but we don't have the kind of national connection to God that Israel has. I mean, you can't deny that. This is what the Scriptures clearly reveal. No other nation has a prophetic time clock like this. Now that brings us to the fourth event, and that is Joshua leads Israel into the Promised Land. Now the date that Joshua leads Israel into the Promised Land is about 1406 B.C. This time clock is moving forward. It's about 1406 B.C. Now let's establish when Joshua is going to die. So go to Joshua 24:29. Joshua 24:29. We read in Joshua 24:29 that it came about after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Joshua dies at age 110, which we're going to date this about 1390 B.C. when Joshua dies. Joshua is a tremendous leader. Joshua, according to Exodus, when we went through the book of Exodus, would not leave the side of Moses. He was just Moses' right-hand man. He stayed in his tent, wouldn't even leave his tent. I mean, he was there to do whatever Moses believed God wanted him to do. Joshua was right at his side, and he became a great leader. Israel went into the Promised Land 40 years after wandering around a wilderness, and Joshua was the one who led them into this Promised Land. He was put in charge of the nation as he led them across the Jordan, and he becomes the second national deliverer for the nation Israel, chosen by God, sanctioned by Moses. So there's no second guessing this. Moses said, this is the leader who's taking my place, and God put his stamp of approval on Joshua. Joshua, as we went through the book of Joshua, leads Israel to and through some monumental victories. He had a victory, of course, at Jericho, ultimately at Ai. Ai, the first time, he gets kind of stumbled up because the people don't obey, but then they go back and they do defeat Ai. Gibeon, Machadah, Libna, Lachish, Eglon, Hebron, Debir, waters of Maron, Hazor, and various other cities. And so when Israel would get into this land, this promised land, she would live there for the next several hundred years. But the one thing she didn't do, which God told her to do, is she didn't drive out all her enemies. And that's going to come back to haunt her. Now, during the time of Joshua, as long as you're open to Joshua chapter 24, look at verse 31. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. So as long as Joshua was alive, Israel was serving God. Israel was faithful to the Lord. The leaders were faithful to the Lord. But when Joshua died, and then the leaders just, they started to dwindle, everything got out of kilter. And by the time you get to the end of the book of Judges, The text says everybody was doing that which is right in their own eyes. So what was happening is the nation Israel had just come up with their own plans and schemes of lifestyle, some of which got into horrible idolatry. It's all described in the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, God raises up a judge. This period of time is from 1373 B.C. to 1043 B.C. when this judge's business goes down. From 1373 B.C. to 1043 B.C., God raises up a series of judges to try to communicate His word to people, to try to get them to do what's right. And the book of Judges is just an interesting cyclical book. I mean, the people do what's wrong. God raises up a judge, they do what's right, then they start doing what's wrong again, and then God raises up another judge, and this goes on throughout the whole book. The first judge that He raises up is Othniel, who judges Israel for 40 years. From 1373 B.C. to 1334 B.C. He came from the tribe of Judah. The second judge that He raises up is Ehud, and Ehud judges Israel for 80 years, from 1316 B.C. to 1237 B.C. from the tribe of Benjamin. The third judge that He raises up is Shamgar, who judged Israel for an unspecified time of reign, and we don't know his judgeship, how exactly long it did last, and we don't know exactly what tribe he was from. The fourth judge that He raised up was Deborah and Barak as kind of a team couple of judges, and they judged Israel for 40 years, from 1237 B.C. to 1198 B.C. The two were counted as one under that judgeship. Then He raised up Gideon. And Gideon judged Israel 40 years, from 1191 B.C. to 1151 B.C. He came from the tribe of Manasseh. Then they raised up Tola, who judged Israel 23 years, from 1149 B.C. to 1126 B.C. from the tribe of Issachar. Then He raised up Jair, who judged Israel 22 years, from 1126 B.C. to 1105 B.C., tribe unknown. Now, what you're doing here is you're moving forward in Israel's history. We've seen her born in Abraham. We've seen her go to Egypt. We've seen her come out of Egypt, go into the promised land. And now we're having these series of judges come up as this clock is moving forward in the history of the nation. And it's critical to understand these things, to understand where they end up today. This is important history to see. Now the eighth judge was Jephthah. And Jephthah judged Israel for 6 years, from 1087 B.C. to 1081 B.C. from the tribe of Manasseh. The ninth judge was Ibzan, who judged Israel 7 years, from 1081 B.C. to 1075 B.C. from the tribe of Zebulun. The tenth judge was Elon, who judged Israel 10 years, from 1075 B.C. to 1065 B.C. from the tribe of Zebulun. The 11th judge was Abdon, who judged Israel 8 years, from 1065 B.C. to 1058 B.C. from the tribe of Ephraim. And the 12th judge was Samson, who judged Israel for 20 years, from 1069 B.C. to 1049 B.C. from the tribe of Dan. Now Israel would respond to a judge, and Israel would get back on track for a while. And then they'd get back off track, and they'd go back into rebellion. So during this particular time period, 1373 B.C., to 1043 B.C., God is raising up these judges. Raises up one, then they go back and revert back to their old ways. He raises up another one to try to get them back on track. Finally, after you get through this period of the judges, God raises up Samuel. And Samuel was born in 1105 B.C. He would become God's prophet and priest and judge from 1105 B.C. to 1015 B.C., and as we're seeing, as we go through our study of 1 Samuel Sunday night, Israel said, we're not happy with Samuel, we want a king. This is how we're moving in the history of Israel toward a king. We don't like Samuel, we don't want a man of God directing us anymore, we want a king, we want to be like all the other nations of the world. And so now we start and move into a moment of history where Israel starts looking toward a king. And we'll have to stop here because our time is gone. Next week we'll go into the kings and we'll see exactly what happens, because this matter of kings has ramifications for Israel right now. And I think we'll be able to show you, Lord willing, next Wednesday night how. I'll tell you what, maybe your head hurts from going through all these numbers, but you ought to try to get these numbers. Your head will really hurt if you work through the logistics of this, but they're pretty accurate. And we're going to keep this very accurate as we march right through. We'll get into the prime ministers. How did they come into play? And where does all that fit into the history of Israel? And how do we get into that? We'll get into all of that. Hope to see you. Thank you for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.